the Dishwasher, written by Stéphane Larue and read by Robert Naylor.
Prologue. The snowplow's rotator beacons light up the building's white-coated facades as it slogs up Hochelaga, pushing snow. We finally manage to pass it and turn onto a small, dimly lit street. Low-hanging cottony clouds fill the dark sky. The comfortable warmth of the car interior is almost enough to put me to sleep. You can just hear the dispatcher's voice on the CB. Mohammed turns down his music the moment you get into his black Sonata. He keeps his car immaculately clean. No crumpled up newspaper floor mats, no old coffee cups or leftover food in the compartment under the radio. Just a small Quran with an illuminated cover and a receipt book. The leather seats are good as new. A fresh, minty aroma suffuses the car. We pull onto Rue Ontario. Tall snowbanks line either side of the street. Mohammed ignores a call on his cell. He never answers when he's with a customer. In the extra rearview mirrors he has mounted on each side of the windshield, I can see his serene face and wrinkled, baggy eyes under bushy eyebrows. We keep driving to Sicard, then turn right. I don't have to give him directions. Mohammed knows the route by heart, has for some time. Mohammed, car 287, is senior driver at the cab stand on the corner of Bourbier and Désirable. Mohammed is the cabbie who nightly takes home half the bar and restaurant workers who ply their trade in Rosemont. Mohammed is a 54-year-old Algerian. He's owed favors by every taxi driver working in the area between Saint-Laurent and L'Assomption from west to east, Jean Talon and Sherbrooke north to south. Even the old guard, the holdouts still driving for taxi co-op, respect him to a man. Half the time I catch a taxi at the stand, I don't have to say where I'm going. Every third time, I don't even give my address. It doesn't matter who's driving. They know me because I'm a customer of number 287. Mohammed is as generous as they come. The kind of guy who'd pull over to help two people moving, stuck under a fridge on their outdoor staircase. I remember one time, 2 or 3 years ago. We were driving down Zibervil, getting close to my house. Must have been 1:30 in the morning. The moment we turned onto Hochelaga, I had a nagging doubt. This was back when I was closing by myself. At the end of a busy night, I'd be so spent I'd sometimes forget some of the closing jobs, like making sure the heat lamps were turned off, or that the cooks hadn't left the convection oven on. That night, I just couldn't remember if I had locked the back door of the restaurant after taking out the dining room garbage. Mohammed stopped in front of my place. He looked at me in one of his mirrors. I still wasn't certain, but I convinced myself I must have done it automatically. I got out of the cab. I stood there next to the car, hesitating, with my hand on the open door. Mohammed turned around and said, "Get back in, my friend. We're going back." He didn't turn the meter back on. It turned out I hadn't locked the back door, and the meat order hadn't been put away in the cooler. When we got back to Aird and La Fontaine, where we'd started, I held out $60. No, my friend. The usual fare. He wouldn't take more than 20. It was my pleasure. You'll sleep better tonight. Sometimes, in the depths of night, you come across people like Mohammed. After years of night shifts, years of going to bed at 4 in the morning, I've gotten to know all kinds of characters, from young kids so jacked up on coke they chatter uncontrollably, to hard cases content to ride their downward spiral all the way to rock bottom. The night, sadly, doesn't belong to the Mohammeds of this world. But they're out there, making it a more hospitable place for its denizens. So we're heading down La Fontaine. It must be midnight, maybe quarter past. The taxi stops on the corner of Aird. The tires squeal in the snow, tamped down by the plow. I pay. Mohammed says bye, bids me goodnight. He has the powerful voice of a Russian lumberjack. I get out of the taxi with a final glance at the back seat. The street lights gleam orange. The vehicles parked on either side of the road have disappeared under snow. I close the door. The cab drives off, turns onto William David, and disappears. The night is hazy and mild. I leave my leather jacket unbuttoned. I'm the only living thing for miles around. You can tell the snowplow did a pass an hour or two ago. In the distance, I hear metal scraping on sidewalk. I look up at the dark windows of my apartment as I pull out my keys. The steps up to my house are covered in snow. It looks like icing sugar.